James chapter 5. Book of James chapter 5. We're going to finish this chapter today, Lord willing, and we're going to begin reading from verse 14 down through verse number 20. It's been quite the ride with this. I believe we've gone through a lot. We've learned that we're to count it all joy, and we fall into divers temptation. We've learned how we're to treat the less fortunate, and we learned last week how we're not to be holding grudges one toward another. And today we're going to be looking about how we go about treating the sick. And I got four things that we're going to look at today with that, and I'm excited for that. I just titled the lesson this morning, it's called Fervent Prayer, Fervent Prayer. So let's begin reading verse number 14. Bear with me, I forgot my reading glasses today, and I'm going to have a hard time doing this. So, but we'll get through this. But let's read, start in verse number 14. It says, Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Before we get going into this again, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God, as I pray outwardly, I'm going to ask you to pray inwardly, that God would begin to speak to you. And as you're praying inwardly, do this. Have God remove all the distractions that might come forth this morning in this auditorium, so that we're focused upon God's Word. Lord, we are grateful again that we're able to gather here once again. Lord, to be in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ, what a joy that is. Lord, this is just a temporary stopping place for us to learn how to fellowship with one another. Lord, soon, someday, very soon, I believe, we'll be in your presence, and we'll be forever with you and forever with each other. So, God, I pray that you would allow us for this short time to enjoy each other while we're here. God, I pray that you just speak to our hearts this morning through your word. I pray that we'd be challenged through everything. And God, as the distractions come up, I pray, Lord, that we would keep our focus upon you this morning. We pray for the ones who are unable to be with us today because of sickness. God, we know there's a lot of sickness that is going around in our community. I pray that you just put your hand of healing upon them. Lord, we would love to see them back here again. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. As we continue in James today, I hope to show you the importance of praying for each other during times of sickness. And with that being said, we just prayed that there's a lot of sickness that is going on, and we need to be diligent in those areas to take time and be considerate and be able to lift each other up in prayer and be specific on matters on areas where people are sick. Also, there are some necessary measures that are to be taken during this time as we do this for the sick. I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about modern medicine, because we are in a different era from when how things used to be. But modern medicine has changed drastically. And modern medicine is still changing every single day. There's new advancements. There's new technology to treat things. One of the things that I have become in awe with the last couple of years is robots being able to perform surgeries. Usually with these robots, they're usually controlled by somebody who's not even in the same state. That's pretty unique when you begin to think about that, how far along that we have come in modern medicine. But with that being said, there's one thing that has not changed through this whole entire process, and that is the God who brings healing to the body physically. God has yet to change. And I'm thankful for that. And so he continues to heal the sick. So here in James, we see what a believer is to do when he or she is faced with a sickness. And let's be honest, nobody in here enjoys being sick. Nobody enjoys being at home, being miserable in their sickness. We don't enjoy those things. If you do, we need to pray for you because that's just not right. But let's go down memory lane and reflect on how modern medicine has changed over the time. And I'm just going to give you a few things of that things that have been of great importance to the changing of the of medicine. So we're going to see the first invention is this, and that is the thermometer. And that was invented back in 1714. And so this specific thermometer that I'm mentioning here is mercury thermometer. This device here can tell if a patient is having a fever. Before that took place, we would usually take the back of our hand and we would place it on the forehead of the individual. And we'll be able to know how their body temp is going in that direction, if it's going high or if it's going low. So this thermometer came about and we're able to stick this in our mouth. Very uncomfortable for me. I don't like that. I never enjoyed when I was a young kid being sick and mom grabbed that thermometer and put that underneath my tongue and I had to let it sit there for, it seemed like, for ages. Anybody else with me on that one? But now we have different devices. We can actually, they're battery operated now. You can go right to the forehead and you can hit click and it gives you the temperature of the individual right then and there. And so that was an important invention because it was able to help treat the individual for their sickness. And so times have changed those things. And with that being said, with that thermometer being invented, it will give the doctor or even the patient an idea on what they're supposed to do in order to treat their medical situation that they're in. If it's too high, obviously you don't want somebody that's got a high fever of 104 because that's very deadly. And so with that being said, you know how to treat the individual. Somebody might have a 99.5 temperature, and you think, oh, you're okay, don't worry about those things. And so there's some areas in there where it allows you to have that panic if you need to have that. So it was a great invention during that time, and it advanced, it's advanced since then. The stethoscope is a unique invention. Most of you don't know this, but Jalen, she started college this year, and she's going into nursing. And I'm thrilled that she really has a desire to take care of people. Let me say this. Nurses and doctors, they're unique individuals. To have a desire to take care of people that they don't really know, wanting to make them better. And she had to go out and purchase a stethoscope this week for a class that she's starting tomorrow. And she came home, I believe it was Thursday night, and she got this stethoscope out, and she proceeded to put it up on my chest, and I freaked out. And there's a reason why, I mean, I was like this, I was like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? She says, Dad, relax, I'm just wanting to hear your heartbeat. I said, Jalen, first of all, you got to understand something. Ever since I had my AFib problem, I do not like it. When the doctors do that to me, it freaks me out. When Chris will put her hand upon my chest, I throw it off because it's just how I react to that. Because it, I don't know what happened during that time. Maybe I was traumatized during that. But anyway, I just threw my arms off, and she just went. She went, Dad, you're being crazy. Yes, I understand I'm being crazy. But she's excited about that because she's able to do something with that. But the stethoscope is a unique invention. This device, for this reason, is used to hear the heartbeat of a person. I've seen some tremendous videos here lately in the last couple of years, specifically organ donors, people who've gone out into eternity on a quick notice, really. And their organs are fine, and they've donated their organs so that somebody else could survive. People Today, we have that great technology of, man, if I need a liver and I qualify for it, I'm able to put myself on a liver transplant, and I'm able to get more medical treatment if that's the route I decide to go. But here's something that's taken place, and that is the heart transplant. And that is able to further advance the life of the individual that needs it. And so, unfortunately, what happens is, if you get a heart transplant or any type of transplant, it's because it's due to the fact of somebody who has passed away. And that's sad right there. But they're able to give life to an individual that might be on the verge of dying. And so, with that being said, they've had this technology, and they're able to go in, and they're able to remove the heart, and they're able to go into the other patient who needs it, they're able to go in and remove that heart, and they're able to swap those things out. I've actually watched a heart transplant surgery. I enjoy watching those things. Those things do not bother me. And so I've actually watched that procedure being done. But here's the neat thing about this. Even though that family that has lost that individual, they're able to see life in another individual because of their loved one. And so it doesn't happen right away, and it doesn't always happen, but sometimes they're able to meet the organ donor family. And one of the neat things that's come about this is, because of this stethoscope that's been invented, here's something that's really neat. It could be a year, it could be 2 years later. It all depends on how the patient body accepts that new organ that they have in their body, because sometimes it doesn't always accept it. It can reject it, and they can still pass away. But after a successful surgery that has taken place, they're able to meet the family. And here's something very interesting about this stethoscope. They're able to put this thing on, and they're able to put that thing on the chest of the individual, and they're able to hear their loved one's heart still beat. I've seen those things take place, and I've seen the emotion that pours out during that time. And it grips me. It truly does. There's times where I find myself just wiping away some tears that might be dwindling down my cheek. But it's a great invention. It's able to hear the heartbeat of the person. They can tell if the heart is beating too fast or if it's beating too slow or if it's not beating at all. Now, if you're visiting a doctor and they put the stethoscope on your heart and they say, "Sir, ma'am, your heart's not beating," there's a problem. There's a problem. Folks, I'm saying that just to see if you're awake, so you might laugh just a little bit. It's okay to laugh on occasions. But they're able to do this. Before this was invented, the doctor would have to put his ear on the chest of a patient to listen. Here's why this invention took place. Dr. René, he was a French doctor, who could not hear the heartbeat of the person because, according to history, they had too much girth on him around his heart, so he could not hear correctly. So Dr. René invented the stethoscope with a trumpet-shaped wooden tube that would amplify the sound. That's how simple it was. Think about that genius idea that God gave this doctor to invent this, to hear the heartbeat of a person. And this has saved millions of lives. It's literally, folks, this is what saved my life 3 years ago when I went into the doctor, when I was experiencing whatever I was experiencing, and they said, "Chad, your heart beats 172 beats per minute. You're out of rhythm. You're in AFib." Well, if it wasn't for the stethoscope, I don't know what would have happened to me. So I'm thankful for modern medicine and how it has evolved throughout the years. Here's another one that is very interesting. A lot of us has probably experienced this sometimes in our life, and that's through x-rays. Now, x-rays has advanced tremendously throughout the years. Before, you used to have to go into a dark room to be able to get x-rays. Now, it's not like that all the time. And advancement has been so great in that area as well. But x-ray imaging was invented in the late 1800s. This had allowed the doctors to have the ability to take the picture of our human body of something that we cannot see that is covered by our flesh. Think about how the word that I can only describe here, how awesome that is. I mean, right now, you cannot see what's on the inside of me, and a lot of you folks say amen to that. We don't like what we're seeing on the outside of you. But anyway, we're able to see the inside of the person. We're able to see our skeleton, if I can say that word, which I just did. And so we're able to take pictures of our bodies, and as they take the pictures of our body, they're able to see if our bones are fractured, if they're in place properly. My doctor, my chiropractor doctor, he will not treat me, and I respect him for this because you're dealing with a human body. He will not treat me unless he has x-ray pictures of my body because he wants to see how my bones are aligned, not just by feeling them, but he wants to physically see those things. And so he's got pictures of my body that he allows me to see on occasions, and that's pretty neat. But through this, we're able to see the bones of the body underneath our flesh. We're able to determine if the fractures of the bones and many other things that might be wrong with the human body. Another great invention that has helped modern medicine, and a lot of us this morning are in need of this. Some don't realize it just yet because of age, but as age takes over the body, one thing that continues to leave the individual is vision. Our vision is not as good as it used to be when we were born. And so some of us might have to get prescription glasses. Some of us, like myself, I need reading glasses. Matter of fact, I can stand right here and read this perfectly fine, this far away. You put it right up to me, it becomes a blur to me. So back here, I'm okay. And so, which is why I need reading glasses. But glasses were invented to help correct the vision of the person, allowing them to see near or far away, to take away the blur that has caused a loss of vision. And so glasses are a part of technology that has been around for a very long time. And that itself continues to advance. Well, how's it advanced since the invention of glasses? Now they're able to do laser surgery to correct your vision, which is why a lot of people that used to wear glasses no longer wear glasses, because technology is advancing. And I'm thankful for those things. But these are just some examples of medicine evolvement throughout the years. And it continues to change, some for the good, and some not for the good. But as I said earlier, what hasn't changed in time is this, is God. God has yet to change, nor will he change. And so with that being said, as an individual, as they get sick, one of the first things that normally happens is this, and you can see this on Facebook, you can go to Instagram, and it even true in church. And we'll say, so-and-so is sick. And what's the next words? We need to pray for them. Why do we need to pray for them? Because we serve a God that we know who can heal. Not only is there a God, but he is our great physician as well. And so God has not changed in this area. And I'm thankful that we have an avenue through him through prayer. So this morning we will discuss the four things that are required for the sick when seeking healing in their body. And I've only known a few who have really practiced this in their lives. And on a few occasions, I have had the privilege of playing a role in this process. And I'll never forget the first time I had the ability to do this. It was in Twin Cities where a lady in a church, she had something wrong with her body. I think it was something wrong with her spine. It wasn't lining up right. She was having great difficulty. They extended all their research on her, and the doctors could not do anything else for her. And so she decided, after great prayer and after a great discussion with her husband, the next step that they wanted to take was very biblical, and that was this that is found in James chapter 5, verse number 14. And that is, calling upon the elders of the church and being anointed with oil. And I'll never forget this because I was a part of the process. The pastor, called a few of us men, and he wanted us to be a part of this. And he said, now, the first thing I want you to do is this. Go home for the next 3 days, because we're going to do it on this day. So I want you to go home for the next 3 days, and I want you to fervently pray. First of all, if you have any unconfessed sins, I want you to confess those sins to God. Because I want you to come holy with pure, clean hands to this anointing service. And we did this. There's four of us that are involved in this. And she came forward, and we did this right in front of the church. We anointed her with oil. We prayed over her. Within a week later, the procedure that she was having, the thing that she was having problem with, amazingly enough, and we shouldn't be amazed, but it was corrected. It was corrected. I have seen Bill's mom on several different occasions calling our pastor at odd hours of the night. And she believed in this process. And pastor would go down there sometimes 12 o'clock, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I know that because majority of the time I received the phone calls because, you know, I was a young person back then. We didn't have cell phones. We had to be glued to the phone that hung on a wall with a cord. We were trapped back in those days. And I remember taking those phone calls on many different occasions, going down, waking up Dad and saying, Dad, and Mrs. Maurer needs you again. And he would take off. And I remember on some occasions he would say, man, she looked like she was dead. And as soon as we anointed her and prayed over her, she just livened back up. And there was times that, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, she'd 2, 3 o'clock in the morning go to the kitchen and start making stuff for the next day. That's how well she was. God has yet to change. And it's a privilege to be a part of. When Dad was in the hospital, pastor's in the hospital 5 years ago, I got to anoint him twice with oil. And both times I was able to see how God raised him up. It's a very unique process. So in verse number 14, James tells us the first thing that we're able to do is this. Says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders. So number one, the sick responsibility in this part is they are to call upon the elders of the church. It could be the pastor and it can be the deacons as well, if they want to get involved in this process, if the pastor wants to bring them in. But the first step, notice this, it says they are to call upon the elders. This process does not take place unless that individual sees the need, that they need God in their life for a divine healing, and it is their responsibility, it is their duty to call upon the Lord. So that's the first thing. The elders will play a significant role in this matter, and it's a task that needs to be done with coming holy before the Lord, as I just gave you my testimony a little bit ago. I can't find this in Scripture unless I overlooked it, but I believe that the elders should be seeking God in prayer before the anointing ever begins. I believe that's why at the time the pastor told us, hey, you need to seek God in prayer. Why is this? For this reason, I believe. The heart needs to be prepared for this matter. And if there are any unconfessed sins that they have, it should be taken care of. Unconfessed sins, I want you to understand this, unconfessed sins could hinder the prayers being answered by God. Because it is our job to come to Him with holy and clean hands. That's our requirement. And so we don't want any unconfessed sins to allow our prayers not to be answered. The second step that is required here is to pray over the sick. You know, I've done a lot of sermons on prayer. And you folks know where my heart is on that. But you know the one thing that really sticks out to me that the disciples only asked Jesus to do was this, while he was here on earth? They said, Lord, teach us to pray. They had everything and anything at their disposal with the Lord, but here's the one thing that they wanted to be taught, and that was this. They wanted to be taught how to pray. So as they call upon the elders, the second step is now they're going to pray over the sick. The third process is this, and I'm just giving this to you real quickly, goes like this. Is any sick among you? Verse number 14, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Now here's the third step, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So that is the third step. And I would have to say this, if James has written it down in this order, I believe that we are to follow it in this order. Very simple. So why do we pray? Why do we pray? Well, the answer should be obvious, but to some it's a mystery. To believers, it's right there. We understand those things. But the unbeliever, it is a mystery to them. We are calling, why are we to pray? Because we are calling upon an almighty God. Seeking the great physician to do the work in a body that nobody else can. That they can. What's the Bible say about our bodies? It says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Why are we fearfully and wonderfully made? And who made us? Who created us? God. God knows everything inside my body, even with that x-ray vision that we're able to have to take those pictures. God already sees that before that film's even developed. And so he knows exactly what's going on in my body right now, the same as he knows what's going on for Q right now. He knows our body better than anybody else. So why would we not pray to God? After all, he is our creator. And so as we do this, we begin to pray and we ask him to perform a miracle in the life of a believer. Now, just a little side note, most people today, and I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of people today believe that God does not do miracles anymore. If God does not perform miracles anymore, I'm going to say this as nice as I can say it, you do not know my God. Plain and simple. Because God still performs miracles. Whether it be through healing somebody, whether it be through a blessing them financially, somebody who is in desperate need of those things, whether it is saving a soul from hell to heaven. Folks, that's a miracle. Because our destination, because of our sin, is hell. And if God saves us from hell and we're saved into eternity with him, that is a miracle. So if that's what most people believe, that God doesn't perform miracles, and I just showed you that God still does, my response next is this, na-na-na-boo-boo. God still performs miracles. Amen. So as we continue on, I don't know why I said na-na-na-boo, but it just sounded fun in my head. Things just come out in my head. Doug experienced this. He experienced these things on Monday night. I got to say something. We're going through discipleship last Monday night, and I was saying something that reminded me of a wrestler, and at the end of it, I just went, woo! It was just one of those things. I'm human, folks, and this mind's messed up. So anyway, today, the third thing is the anointing of the oil upon the sick is generally, a lot of folks don't know this, but is generally practiced by the Roman Catholics. That is their practice. But it should be practiced by us as well, because it is given to us in the book of James here. And so when you begin to pray for the sick, the thing that follows right after that is the anointing of the oil. It takes place, and usually it is done across the forehead of the person. That's where it's normally done. And you might ask, well, what type of oil do you use? Just olive oil is what I use. Now, when pastor's in the hospital and he asked for anointing, I went to the store. I was looking for the olive oil. It's like $12 for a swab on the forehead. And I know my dad, he'd think the same way. He's like, where's the cheaper bottle at? I was looking for the cheaper version of it, and I couldn't find the cheaper version of it, and then I ended up picking up the wrong one, and I got something that was scented in it. So pastor smelt like Italian for the next hour after he was anointed. Now, he probably doesn't remember those things, but I do. But usually you just grab the olive oil, you place it upon your thumb, and you just smear it across the forehead of the individual, and then you begin to pray for that person's sickness. And it's a pretty neat thing to take place. Moving on, verse number 15 begins to explain why I said about the elders seeking God ahead of time. It says, "And the prayers of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." It says, "And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick." We don't want any unconfessed sins to hinder the prayer from being answered. We don't want any of those things. Why do I say this? What happened to Jesus when he's on the cross? For a brief time in history, what did God do to his son? Because of our sins that he took upon him, God turned his back upon his own son. So it's important for us to understand, hey, I got to come to God with confessed sins. And because I want to come holy and pure before him. And you might say, well, man, that's embarrassing. I gotta name those things. Folks, God already knows. He just wants us to recognize it and come to him. So lastly, we'll see. Well, let me go on here. And the sins that were committed, I got way ahead of myself. Not only will God save the sick, but here's what happens. Because it says here, and it says, "In the prayer of the faith shall save the sick." Then it continues on and says, "And the Lord shall raise him up once again." And then it says, "And the sins that were committed shall be forgiven." Here's an interesting thought here. What usually causes sickness in our life? Who can quote Romans 6:23, the first part of it? "For the wages of sin is death." Sin brings upon sickness in our life that generally leads us to death. But I'm glad that verse didn't stop there, because for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thankful for that. Lastly, we see that in verse 16, and I mentioned this last week, but it says here, verse number 16, let's read this. It says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed." The effectual fervent prayer, and that's where I got my title from this morning, fervent prayer, "of a righteous man availeth much." So verse number 16 tells us something very interesting. It says we are to confess our faults to one another. Sometimes we read into this and we think of it as we are to confess our sins to one another. Folks, we're not to confess our sins to one another. The Bible clearly says our faults. We're to confess our faults to one another. We are only confessing our sins to God. So what do you mean about our faults? Well, I'll give you an example here, just to help us understand this just a little bit. Well, we all have faults of being impatient. Could we agree on that? That would be a fault. Or maybe we might have taken part in causing an accident. That would be a fault of ours. Thursday night, Chris and I, we celebrated our 27 years. And man, what a great ride it's been. I can't wait for the next 27, to be honest with you. And I decided, this is funny, she was patting my hair down Wednesday night. She says, "Chad, if you're going to go out with me tomorrow night on our anniversary, you got to get rid of that shaggy look. You got to go get a haircut." And I know she was joking. But I went and got my hair cut. And they took the long clippers to me, and now I'm cleanly shaven. It's like, well, I'm going to go fill it for gas. I'm going to get my vehicle taken care of. And I filled up for gas, and I took off. And I was going down 9th Ave. And I'm just minding my own business. I heard something out of my left ear that didn't sound right. And that was this, a speeding vehicle. I quickly looked to my left, and I saw this thing pass me at such a high speed that normally when you see those things, what do we normally do? We normally jerk, don't we not? We'll either jerk to the left or we'll jerk to the right. God had me stay focused during that time because I had a car in front of me. But the car in front of him, which wasn't too far away from me, did the reaction that I should have done. And that was this. He jerked to the left and he hit, well, that speeding car hit him. And that guy that hit him was at fault. Well, here's the bad thing about that. It was a stolen vehicle from Omaha. He just had a hit and run on 35th and 9th Ave that I just missed by seconds. And now he's coming down 9th Ave and clips another person. The trooper stays around just for a brief second just to make sure that guy who got hit was okay. Then he takes off and begins to pursue him. And I don't know the rest of the story. You'll have to listen to Paul Harvey later on that one. But I think they actually ended up catching him. But an accident could be our fault. And normally what happens is when I see people in accidents, they get out and they go, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't see you there." And so confessing our faults to one another. Or it can mean that, I want to put this in here, because this is scripture, that we have become a stumbling block to somebody. So often we become stumbling blocks to other believers. Because they might have different beliefs than we do, but yet we'll practice those beliefs and they're offended by that. And so we need to confess our faults. We are only to confess our sins to God. So I want you to understand that. For this reason, I'm going to give you an illustration. If someone came to me and said that they are looking at my wife with lustful eyes, well, then we might have a problem. Would we not? Because here's what's going to take place. I'm going to say, "How dare you?" Because they're not coming confessing my fault. They're coming confessing a sin that they had. And so we might have a problem because of this. I won't be as forgiving as God is. I'd want to take the problem in my own hand and correct it. And then I would be in a world of confessing, because then I would take matters into my own hands. So if we confess our sins to each other, then we could be asking for some major problems. The Bible says we are to confess our faults to one another. It's not our faults that need to be confessed. It is our faults that need to be confessed. And this is done for this reason, for the healing of the believer. The major factor in this is this. When it comes to the anointing of the oil over the sick, the prayer and all this, the major factor is this. It's the faith of the believer in God. And I can't stress that enough. Which is why I say the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So these are the steps that are needed to take in this area when it comes to the sick. And I hope it gives you a different idea on how we are to be in this area. Am I thankful for modern medicine? Yes, I am. I'm thankful for modern medicine. Because of modern medicine, I'm able to keep my blood pressure down when I'm preaching. Otherwise, it'll be sky high. Some, well, it's able to keep their cholesterol levels down, or to keep their heart in rhythm, or antibiotics, things like that to help heal the body. I'm thankful for those things. I'm thankful for the wisdom that God gave the men and women to invent these things. But I'm more thankful that I can call upon a mighty God who can heal me quicker than anybody else upon this world. He can heal me just like that. Quick. Can he? Yes, he can. Does he? Not all the time. Why is that? Because there's a lesson that we need to learn while we're sick. You heard Pastor say something here just a few weeks ago. He says, "I thought I had patience." God's still teaching through our sickness. And we need to be thankful for those things. So, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Let's bow ourselves in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we're able to be here again today. I thank you for your word that you've given us. Lord, if there's someone here that is sick this morning, Lord, I pray that you just bring healing to their body. I pray that you just watch over them, give them strength. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for how modern medicine has advanced so much to where it can be more of a help to us. We thank you for the men and women who really dedicate their lives to be a help to those that are in desperate need of their care and attention. Lord, we have a few in our church, and I'm so thankful for that. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen.